being with us. And we thank you, O Lord, our God, for this day, a brand new day, one we've never seen before. So we invite you into our Bible breakfast setting that we may study together, that we may gain an understanding, dear Lord God, of your word and increase in knowledge and wisdom of who you are and what you can be to us in our lives. Bless this session, we do pray, and may all of us receive something as we have joined together. And we thank you now in Jesus' name. Once again, we want to thank you for joining us here at our Bible Breakfast Fellowship on this day, the Lord's Day. We thank you for the gathering in and the coming together. I'm so happy to hear so many of you as you've joined us here on our Bible Breakfast Fellowship Hour as we come together to study the Word of God here at the Queen's Ministry. Amen. And we're still in our series on Stand Firm in the Lord, our lesson that we began at the beginning of the month, and we're going to stay there. And so we ask, glory to God, that you pull out your lesson, and we are going to pick up where we left off. We are using as our foundational teaching coming from Philippians 4, verses 1 through 9. I'm going to read that in your hearing for you this morning while you gather in your paper pen and your lesson so that we all can take notes and we all can enjoy what we're gaining from one another as we listen and study together. Amen? So we're talking today about being examples, being who Paul, the writer of this particular passage of Scripture, is saying that we should be. He encourages us in this particular passage. We find is a letter to the Philippian church, or to the church at Philippi. And we find in this letter, near the end of this letter, Paul instructing, encouraging the readers to act in a manner that would reflect, glory to God, God's presence in their lives. So he says these things to them. Be united, be joyful, be exemplary, which means be a good example, be prayerful, and check your thinking. Amen, somebody. So as we revisit this passage, we want to see how we can connect to those very things that Paul is talking about to the church at Philippi. So we're going, as we have for these last several weeks, we've gone through each section. And now we find ourselves in the section entitled, Be Prayerful. And so we're going to talk today about what Paul was saying to the church at Philippi when he instructed them to be prayerful. Amen? So again, let me read Philippians 4, verses 1 through 9. I'm reading out of the New King James Version. If you have it, read along with us. Therefore, my beloved and longed for brethren, my joy and crown, so stand fast in the Lord, beloved. I implore you, Odia, and I implore Synergy, to be of the same mind in the Lord. And I urge you also, true companion, help these women who labored with me in the gospel, with Clement also and the rest of my fellow workers, whose names are in the book of life. Rejoice in the Lord always. Again, I will say rejoice. Let your gentleness be known to all men. The Lord is at hand. Verse 6, be anxious for nothing, but in everything, by prayer and supplication, with thanksgiving, let your requests be made known to God. And the peace of God, which surpasses all understanding, will guard your hearts and minds in Christ Jesus. Verse number 8, finally, brethren, whatever things are true, whatever things are noble, whatever things are just, whatever things are pure, whatever things are lovely, whatever things are of good report, if there is any virtue and if there is anything praiseworthy, meditate on these things. The things which you learned and received and heard in me, and saw in me, these do, and the God of peace will be with you. Amen. So here again, we are reminded by the writer, the Apostle Paul, that we should be in a manner reflecting God's presence in our lives. Amen. Praise God. So again, the section we're on, everyone, that you've joined us today here at the Queen's Ministry Bible Breakfast Fellowship, is part 4 or section 4 entitled, Be Prayerful. Be Prayerful. Those are good instructions the apostle is telling the church. We all need to be prayerful. The life of the believer should be a prayerful life. Amen. The life of the believer should be a life that is led by prayer. The life of the believer should be a life where prayer is centered and prioritized. The life of the believer, prayer should be a connection. Why? Simply because prayer is important because it is communication with God. That's it. If you break down the word prayer, you would see that it simply means to be in communication with God. And as we know, in communication, we have to what? Listen as well as talk. So when you talk or communicate with others, you don't, hopefully, you don't do all the talking. You pause to hear what the other individual has to say, and you listen. Well, that's the same when we are in prayer with God. We may communicate our needs, and we're going to talk about that in our lesson text on today. But we also need to learn how to get still enough so that we can hear God respond or give instructions or guide us or direct us in our quest for whatever it is that we have approached Him for. So again, prayer is important is because it is communication with God the Father. Amen. Praise God. And so Paul the Apostle, who was talking to the church at Philippi, thusly us, the church today, that we need to be prayerful. And we know through our reading of the Bible that Jesus was a great promoter of prayer. Yes, He was. He often was found praying to God the Father. He often was found slipping away to go to a quiet place or a place that he could hear God and be in fellowship and communication with God. His prayer life was so much so that the disciples said to him, "Jesus, teach us how to pray." Wow. His prayer life was so evident in the lives of those that were following him that they asked Jesus to also show them how to pray. And so we see in Matthew's gospel, I'm going to use, we see in the gospel that Jesus did teach the disciples how to pray. And we can use that same prayer, the model's prayer, though sometimes many of us have learned to call it the Lord's Prayer, but in essence, it is actually a model prayer that Jesus taught his disciples, and we can also use. We see in this Matthew gospel that Jesus taught his disciples how to pray or how to guide your prayer. And so I want to read that section in Matthew 6 chapter, right there where Jesus is teaching his disciples how to pray. And he begins by acknowledging God the Father. And I brought that out because of our earlier Bible school teaching lesson from our service this morning. In it, they pointed out that Jesus acknowledged God to be Father. And so I just wanted to reference that when he taught the disciples how to pray, the first thing he said was to acknowledge God as your Heavenly Father. Amen? Praise God. So here's what Jesus said when you pray. He says, pray like this: Our Father in heaven, reveal who you are. Set the world right. Do what's best. As above, so below. Keep us alive with 3 square meals. Keep us forgiven with you and forgiving others. Keep us safe from ourselves and the devil. You're in charge. You can do anything you want. You're ablaze in beauty. Yes, yes, yes. And verse 14, it says, I'm reading out of the Message Bible. It says, in prayer, there is a connection between what God does and what you do. You can't get forgiveness from God, for instance, without forgiving others. If you refuse to do so, you cut yourself off from God's part. So again, prayer is important for us, and so that we can communicate with God. Also, we find in that same particular chapter, Matthew 6 in the Message Bible, it says, when you're praying, there's some kind of way you need to be acting. Again, Jesus pointed out that you need to acknowledge the Father. You need to remember that you're speaking to your Heavenly Father, and then to ask, make your request known, and then present them to him. But here is something else that we're cautioned in our prayer life. When you pray, hallelujah, when you come before God, don't turn it into some theatrical production. No. All these people making a regular show out of their prayers, hoping for stardom, don't you do that. Do you think God sits in a box seat? Here is what Jesus said I want you to do. Find a quiet, secluded place so you won't be tempted to role play before God. Just be there as simply and honestly as you can manage, and the focus will shift from you to God, and you will begin to sense His grace. Let me repeat that one more again, just that section right there, because that's what I want us to get in our spirit as we were instructed by the apostle to be in a prayerful mindset. Let's go before the Lord in the right manner. First of all, let's worship God. Let's honor Him by calling Him God the Father when we go to Him. And then let's do what we're instructed here in Matthew's Gospel, that we don't make a theatrical production out of our prayers, making a loud noise or sounding important or being pompous in our prayer. No, here, this is what I want you to do. Find a quiet, secluded place so you won't be tempted to role play, acting out, pretending. No, I don't want you to do that before God. I want you to be as simple and as honest as you can manage. Then the focus will shift from you to God, and you will begin to sense His grace. Oh my goodness, isn't that good stuff, y'all? It certainly is. And it surely tells us how we are to be when we develop continually, because it's not something you do and stop, continually be in a prayerful mindset. So the Apostle Paul, let's go back to Philippians 4, says in verse 6, be anxious for nothing. I want you to pray. That's what it is He is saying to you. But in everything by prayer and supplication, let your requests be made known. And the Apostle Paul also gives us some instructions when we set out to pray. Now, we know we need to honor God the Father and present our requests. And then we also need to come to God, not role-playing, but come simply and come honestly, come truthfully and with sincerity. Amen? I'm going to question number one right there in section number four under Be Prayerful. Prayer is important in the life of the believer. I said that. I'm going to repeat that because I want us to get that into our spirit. Prayer is important in the life of the believer. And so we are encouraged to pray always. Amen? The Word of God says, pray without ceasing, continually be in the mindset of prayer. Amen. And so number two, Paul here in verse number 6 is telling the church, be ready to write, not to worry. Paul is telling the church not to worry or not to fret. Not to worry, not to fret over the challenges or issues of life. Amen. So Paul here in verse number 6, he says, be anxious for nothing. Don't worry, don't fret over what you're experiencing in your life. Number 3, but in every situation or circumstance, use prayer. That's why it's important to have that in your life, believer, to seek what? The presence of God. Write that down. Seek the presence of God. That's right. In every situation or circumstances, use prayer to seek the presence of God. Remember, we just found out in Matthew, we just read again, in Matthew 6, it says, once you take your focus off of yourself and begin to place it on God, you will begin to sense His grace or sense His presence. Come on here, somebody. Amen. Not only will you be able to seek His presence, you will seek His wisdom and the power of God. Whew. Let me repeat that. In 3, in every situation or circumstance, you use prayer to seek God's presence, to seek His wisdom, and to seek His power. Amen. Paul is telling us that prayer, and you all know it, you say it all the time, but prayer changes things. Come on here, somebody. Amen. It certainly does. Prayer changes things. Okay, so let me repeat that for you. Number 3, it says, but in every situation or circumstance, use prayer to seek the presence of God. Seek His wisdom and His power. And remember, Paul is showing us, telling us that prayer changes things. Can I get an amen, somebody? Number four. He also tells us that prayer should be filled with thanksgiving. All right, so we go back to the model prayer, and we see in the model prayer that we are to be able to express thanksgiving and praise to God for who He is and for His wisdom. Amen? So Paul is instructing us, be thankful, be grateful, be appreciative of what God has already done in your life. When you go to Him in prayer, go to Him with a thankful heart. Someone once said that if you are thankful and grateful for the things that He already done, He'll give you even more. When you show yourself be a good steward over the things that He's already blessed you with, then He'll be able to bless you with even the more, because you'll have a heart that'll receive in the right manner the blessings of God. So, Paul says, when you pray, make sure your prayer is filled with thanksgiving. Amen. Number five, and to make specific, that's right, make specific requests. Make specific requests. Let God know what you want. Let God know what it is that you're seeking His presence for. Tell God all about it. We sing the song in church all our lives. The song says simply, have a little talk with Jesus. Tell Him all about your struggle. He'll hear our faintest cry, and He'll answer by and by. But the part I'm pointing out is, have a little talk with Jesus and tell Him all your troubles. That's it. Paul is saying to us now, let your requests be made known to God. Amen. Be specific in your praying. Let God know what you're desiring. Amen. Praise God. Number six, and with our desire to share our needs, He will bless us with His peace. That is so important. Paul is saying to us here in Philippians 4, verse number 6, let your request be made known to God, and the peace of God, that's it, the peace of God will guard your hearts and mind. The peace of God, God's peace will come upon you. Amen. Number seven, this blessing will what? Reassure your heart. Praise God. Let me say that one more again. Number seven says, this blessing will reassure your heart. It will transcend all our understanding. My. Sometimes we just can't even understand. What did we hear in the Bible project lesson today? The person kept saying, well, I just can't understand that fully. It is even hurting my brain. Sometimes when God does things, we can't even understand. It blows our mind. Pastor is good for saying that. I want to blow your mind. But sometimes the things that God does in our life, oh, Jesus, it can blow our minds. It can transcend all our understanding, because God is a God that is not beholden to the limitations of man. Whew, I said something there, y'all. Praise God. Yes, God is limitless. He is not held to what we are held to in the earth realm. God is a spirit, and they that worship Him must worship Him in spirit and in truth. Amen, somebody. So, let me finish out number seven. Question number seven. This blessing will, one, reassure your heart. It will transcend all understanding. And it will stand guard over your hearts and your minds in Christ Jesus. Let me repeat that for you. Give you fully time to write down this answer to number seven. It says, this blessing of peace will reassure your heart. It will transcend all understanding, and it will stand guard over your hearts and your minds in Christ Jesus. Amen, somebody. Praise the Lord. God is certainly good, and He's just such a wonder in our lives. Let's move on to number eight. John 16:33. Going to give you an opportunity to find that so we can all read along together. Go to John 16, verse number 33. When you have it, yes, you can say amen. Praise God. But when you find it, be ready to read along with us. John 16, verse number 33. Give you a second to find it so that we all can be on the same page. Amen. Praise God. I'm going to be reading out of the NIV. Whatever version you have is fine, as long as you can follow along with us. I'm going to read verse number 33. It says, I have told you these things so that in me you may have peace. In this world you will have trouble. But take heart, I have overcome the world. So Jesus is saying here in John's narrative, John's gospel, gospel according to John, that in this world you will have trouble. But Jesus is saying to us, I'm telling you all these things are going to go on in the world so that you will know in me you may have peace. Why? Because I have overcome the world. Yes, sir. Jesus is telling us that we have, and I want you to write it down on your paper somewhere, we have the victory. Hallelujah. Let me say that one more again. We have the victory because of Christ. So Jesus is encouraging us that he gives us peace to help us with our struggles and our troubles and our challenges. And again, it supports what Paul is saying in Philippians 4. He says, if you let those requests be made known, you present them to God the Father, if you present it with thanksgiving, a grateful heart, if you present them with not being worrying or fretting because you're bringing them to God, God will give you his peace which will surpass all your understanding. And then it will guard your heart and your mind in Christ Jesus. And Jesus is saying that in verse number 32, chapter 16 in John's Gospel, that I will give you my peace. Even though you're going to have trouble in this world, I want you to know, I want you to take heart, hold fast to this. I have overcome the world. That's how we stand firm in the Lord, by trusting in the Savior, Jesus the Christ. Amen. Let's move on before our time runs out. Let's now go to 1 Thessalonians 5:17. Remember, in our topic today, our subtopic, we are talking about being prayerful. Amen. And so again, Paul is encouraging the church at Philippi to be prayerful. We are seeing that prayer is important in the life of the believer, and we are always encouraged to pray. Go to 1 Thessalonians 5. Join with us in reading along as we now see another supportive verse in scripture that talks about praying. 1 Thessalonians 5:17. Very short verse, something we can commit to memory and not even think about. And it simply says, pray continually. That's it. We're instructed, encouraged. Again, the writer Paul is reminding the church here, the church at Thessalonica, to be prayerful and pray continually. Amen, somebody. So he didn't say once. He didn't say just one church, you do it, and over here he said something different. You see the consistency of God's word. Come on here. You see the consistency of those that were preaching God's word. That when he told one church to do something, he was also encouraging another church on the other side of town to do the very same thing. That's the word of God. It affirms, it reaffirms, it confirms itself. Amen? When you see all that division and stuff, you need to take a step back and go back and say, Lord, help me to see the connection. Help me to understand the connection. Amen? So that I can see how your word flows. From Genesis to Revelation, it all connects, y'all. Amen? And so Paul is saying here to the church at Thessalonica, to pray continually. Amen. And that's what you want to put down on 9. That 1 Thessalonians 5:17 encourages us to keep pray. That's right. Don't stop praying. Pray without ceasing. Pray continually. Continuously. Amen. Sometimes your prayers may be long. Sometimes they may be short. Sometimes they may be a whisper. Sometimes they may be loud and boisterous. Sometimes they may be so passionate. Others will wonder what's going on. However you find yourself praying, I want to say to you today, keep on praying. Amen. Praise God. Number 10, 1 Timothy 2 and 8. Give you a moment to get there, everybody that have their Bibles. Go to 1 Timothy in the 2nd chapter and verse number 8. I'm going to repeat that for you. 1 Timothy 2 and 8. We're talking about being prayerful. Keep praying, because why? Prayer is important. It is communication with God. So what is the writer saying here to Timothy? This is another letter written by the Apostle Paul, praise God, who was instrumental in so many of the books that we have in our New Testament reading, instrumental in being a vessel used of God and bringing forth the Word of God and breaking it down for our understanding, amen, so that we could have a connection with God the Father. And here he is talking to Timothy, one of his sons in the ministry, praise God. And Timothy, glory to God, went on to be a pastor and a leader in the church, and Paul was sharing some things with him. And one of the things he says to Timothy right here in 1 Timothy 2 and 8, therefore, he says to Timothy, I want the men everywhere to pray, lifting up holy hands, and get this, without anger or disputing. So Paul was encouraging Timothy. He was telling him, glory to God, to pray and to lift up holy hands, honor God, amen, and then to do that without anger, without dispute, without fighting. Without all that controversy. Come on, let's just pray. Amen. Let's put aside our differences like Bishop was talking about earlier. Let's put aside our differences and let's just pray. Listen, I want you to write down right next to that, pray all the time. That's what Paul was saying to Timothy. Pray all the time. And get this, everywhere. Everywhere. That's right. Don't just leave prayer in the home. When you go out your door, take prayer with you. That's right. In your car, on your job, in the restaurant, wherever you may be, on the train, the bus, subway, wherever. Take prayer with you. Amen. Remember, it's communication with God. So you don't have to have just a set time to talk with God, which is good. But you can talk to God all the time. Glory to God. Thank you, Jesus. Amen. So be prayerful. The apostle is encouraging us. I want to read this also for you, because this is also what Paul was encouraging Timothy. So write down chapter 1. That's right. Stay right there. 1 Timothy 2 and 1. That's right. Right next to 2 and 8. Write down 2 and 1. Why? Because Paul says, I urge then, first of all, that petitions, that's that praying again, prayers, intercession, and thanksgiving be made for all people. So here Paul is encouraging Timothy. He says, don't limit your prayer just for your family, those that you like, those that you're familiar with. No, I want prayers and petition and intercession. Come on here. And thanksgiving to be made for all people. So believers, we're supposed to be people of prayer. First of all, we should not stop it. It should be continuing. It should be a make part of our makeup, part of who we are. And then get this. Not only are we to present our prayer requests specifically and to God the Father with worship and thanksgiving, but we're supposed to do it for all people. Right there, we're supposed to be intercessors. Right where you are right now, just say, Lord, help me to be an intercessor. Sometimes you could just see a neighbor, a friend that's in need, and you can't do nothing else but lift up a prayer that God would send somebody to meet them at their point of need. And then maybe you can even pray and say, God, how can I help them? Maybe you don't even recognize, understand, can see, because your eyes are closed physically, and you want God to open up your eyes so you can see where you can be a blessing. And so, praise God, you can intercede by saying, Lord, help me to be a blessing. Help me to help them. Amen. Something simple like my daughter and I was driving along, and as we drove past this building, we saw a sign outside. Stop by. They were giving out free clothes and free food. And she said right away, oh my God, look at what I could have done. I had some items that I could have brought here, given to them, and they could have been used as a blessing for somebody else. So we can be intercessors. blessings in so many ways. And sometimes all we can do is lift up the prayer. Then let's do that. And if sometime in our praying we say, God, help us to see how we can be a help to them, then do that. Amen. But Paul is saying here, just don't limit it to your family members and your friends and those you like. Mm-mm. Pray for everyone. Even Jesus says, pray for your enemies. Woo, Lord Jesus, he was turning the world upside down. Amen. So prayer is important in the life of the believer, and we are encouraged to always pray. Amen. Well, I've come to the conclusion of my time of teaching today, and I want to say to you all, I've had a great morning, great session with you all, and I pray that you all have received something. But I want to remind us that Paul is encouraging us, and the Word of God supports this thought that we need to be a people of prayer. And we ought not to limit our prayers just to those we can see, but that we need to be able to pray for all everywhere. Amen. I pray again that you are blessed by the Word. Father, we thank you for what took place on here today. We thank you for your Word. We pray, Lord God, that your Word will find a lodging place in our hearts. That, Lord God, that we may continue to grow, that we may continue to increase, and we may continue to become who you say we are. Help us to be transformed. That's the word, God, that we may be transformed. Hallelujah. Be made more and more in your image. Glory to God. That we may become the people that you say we are. Touch our hearts and our minds right now where we are, God. Oh, glory to God. We ask, Lord God, and we declare in our own lives right now in Jesus' name that we can be who you say we are. Amen. That I am somebody in Christ Jesus. So thank you now, God. Continue to have your way in our lives is our prayer. And continue to watch over us. In Jesus' wonderful name, we do pray. Come on, let every heart, wherever you may be, whatever time you may be hearing this, won't you shout out, hallelujah. God bless you. Amen.